Welcome to worship, friends. Wherever you are, all around the world, I pray that you've come to this time for the express purpose of giving God glory by being grown as a glorifier. If you're one who does not yet know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, I pray that today, as you hear another expression of his gospel, and as you hear and heed, I pray, the teaching of his word, I pray that you'll find a love that is irresistible. I pray that you'll encounter the miracle of saving grace right here, today, right now. Now, as we begin, I want to build on that thought by asking you a question. Have you ever, or perhaps recently, thought about the power of one? The power of one. Now, think about it. This is a principle that I'm asking, the power of one in principle. You could, for example, think about 1 degree. In fact, you could think of 1 degree in terms of temperature. Have you thought about the potential of going from 211 degrees Fahrenheit to 212 degrees Fahrenheit? That 1 degree, it's the difference between hot water and boiling water. The difference between hot water and the ability to make steam. And steam, when harnessed correctly, can drive a train, can literally put together the force to do what would be unimaginable otherwise. And take note, steam can also be generated and wasted, totally ignored, like in the morning shower when the water gets so hot that you've got all that steam in the room. Let us realize the power of one. 1 degree off, for example, is off. And off means off. So that 1 degree could be the difference between winning and losing, between accomplishing something and failing at something. One, think about it in terms of 1 second. Right now, the Winter Olympics are going on. 1 second is actually broken down to 1/10 of a second, 1/100 of a second. The difference between 1/100 of a second could be the difference between the gold medal, the silver medal, the bronze medal, or no medal. Think about it, the power of one, the power of one answer. If I asked you, how much is 2 + 2? If you said to me anything but the one correct answer, 4, it would be wrong. 3.99999, off by that one digit, is off. It's wrong. The power of one. It's the difference between right and wrong sometimes. Think about the difference of 1%. 99% integrity is a lack of integrity. If you think about it, the power of one. One encounter. What might happen if this is your one encounter with the living God today? What would happen if you were to have one revelation of his truth and love that changed you forever? The power of one. The power of one miracle. Oh, Lord, I pray as we begin that you will grab a hold of each one within the sound of my voice, and that what you have shared in your word will be received, will be embraced, will be believed, will be acted upon. Change us here today, I pray, Lord Jesus. Capture some by grace and justify. Refine all of us by grace. And those who have been justified, please sanctify us, Lord. Challenge us as you clean us up. I pray this all in the precious name of Jesus the Christ. Amen. And amen. Well, friends, I want to remind you, if you haven't been with us, we're walking through the Gospel of Matthew, and we're doing it so that we'll better understand and grow in and through and from the Gospel of Jesus Christ. We are in chapter 10 of Matthew's Gospel, and today we're coming into what is known as the second great discourse, the second major teaching of Jesus. And what we find ourselves looking at is Jesus preparing to send out his apostles, his disciples who have learned, who are now being sent out as his apostles for the first time and paving the way for a better understanding of what it is to be his witnesses, not just in the here and now of this moment in Scripture, but throughout all of time until he returns. I pray today that you'll see that this is an encounter that is designed to give us a better understanding of the power of one, that capital O, one. His name is Jesus, and the ones that he empowers and sends out. In fact, you can get the essence of the big idea of the passage today in this understanding, that the power of the right and the righteous one is miraculous, messianic, and missional. Now, let me unpack that big idea because it's loaded. The power of the right and righteous one, those who are not just right, but are righteous. And the one, well, there is a capital O, his name is Jesus. And the right and righteous ones, those that Christ makes right and righteous, those that Christ endorses as right and righteous, both his power and then the power that I pray you will say, as a righteous one, as a apostle, as a disciple, an apostle, a witness, an ambassador for Christ, you will recognize that your power, if you are in fact a child of God, is his power. And it is miraculous, it's messianic, and it's missional. That's what we're going to see is today we walk through Matthew chapter 10. We'll briefly revisit verses 1 through 5, where we've been the last couple of weeks. But we're going to focus in primarily on verse 5 through 10 in a sermon that I've entitled, The Power of One. Make no mistake, the one is capital O, Jesus. And at the same time, there is power given to the ones, small o, who will be his witnesses, be his apostles, be his disciples. And that's what he's going to put on display for us here today. So as we walk through, and I ask you to take your Bibles and come with me, as we walk through Matthew 10, 1 through 10, I was originally going to go through to verse 15, but there's just too much here for us. I would have had to have skimmed too quickly. So I've pulled back our focus to just to verse 10. And what we're going to see is the Almighty's power, the apostolic power, and then the assignment power that Jesus is demonstrating here. Remember, he's teaching, equipping, and preparing to send out those that will carry his mission forward. It's always about the Messiah and his mission. And so we will see in the opening verses, Almighty power, his power. Then we'll see the apostolic power that he gives. And then we'll see the essence of the assignment power, which he also gives, and which transcends the time of back when the capital A apostles were living and serving and carrying forth to our time until Christ returns. So come with me. And again, here are the three points. We're going to see the absolute power of the Almighty, Almighty power. Then we're going to see the apostolic power. And then we're going to pick up with the assignment power. And I pray all of us will realize how desperately we need and how blessed we are to understand this truth in love. All right, so it's God's word that tells us, opening up here in Matthew chapter 10, Jesus called his 12 disciples. Jesus, here's the Almighty, called his, there's ownership, 12 disciples, and he gave them authority over unclean spirits to cast them out and to heal every disease and every sickness. Now, if the inflection of my voice through you, I pray it will draw you in to some of those key words and terms. Let's see here at first, again, the almighty power. Well, we know that the Almighty's power is miraculous. Only He can give it. It's messianic. It's His, the Messiah's power. And it's missional. It has a purpose. That purpose ultimately is to bring glory to God by finding and growing more glorifiers, by testifying to the truth and love that is Him and His good news. Friends, I pray that you'll see and know that as Scripture is showing us, this Scripture is authored by Him, the Almighty. The Scriptures are anchored in Him, the Almighty. And ultimately, absolutely, all the time, the Scriptures are about Him, our Almighty. You see this through 2 Timothy 3:16 and 17. You see it in John 1:1 and many other scriptures. We know that we're to, in all things, bring glory to Him. We know that He is to be at the core of all that we do, all that we say, all that we bring to others. That as disciples, as apostles, as witnesses, the power that we are carrying and we are delivering and sharing with others is His. It is a messianic, miraculous, and missional power. We saw this again in the opening verse. Notice as well that we've got an awful lot going on here. We see already that Jesus is identifying, calling His own. This is so important to recognize. We'll get into it a little bit further down, but don't jump over the fact that this almighty power is Christ's power. Now, we know that in the miraculous, we see the Messiah. By definition, if it's miraculous, He's at the core. He's the creator of all that is and could be. We also know that He has a purpose. We've been told already in Matthew's gospel that He is in this account fulfilling all righteousness, fulfilling the law and the prophets. He is the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world, and He's ushering in the kingdom of heaven. All of this is going on. There is a very real purpose to the Almighty's power. If we don't get that in the foundation, we're going to go off the rails hard and fast, and who knows where that train will end up. All right, let's continue on and see that when we recognize that it's the Almighty's power, then we'll realize that His power is always about Him. Absolute almighty power is always about the Almighty. It's not about the capital A apostles. It's not about the small A apostles. It's not about the assignments. Almighty's power is always about the Almighty. Everything that gets done through His power is for His purposes. It is to bring Him glory by finding and growing more glorifiers. Everything is missional. Everything is missional. If you can't find how what is happening connects back to the glory of God, then something's off. Either what is happening is not authentic and from the Almighty, or if it is, you're missing something. Because if it ever becomes about the apostles or the assignments, it's stealing glory from God, and He does not give His power for those purposes. His almighty power is always for His purposes, which is in part to be seen and lived out through His people on purpose. Amen and amen. Well, let's move on to the apostolic power. And here we'll read verses 2 through the beginning of verse 5. And listen carefully. Again, we've already covered this, so I'm not going to dig too deep, but don't miss the truth and love of God and His word. Verse 2, the apostolic power seen here. Now, the names of the 12 apostles, They were disciples learning. Now they're being sent out as apostles. Now the names of the 12 apostles are these. The first, Simon, who is called Peter, and his brother, Andrew, and James, the son of Zebedee, and his brother, John, Philip and Bartholomew, Thomas and Matthew, the tax collector, James, the son of Alphaeus, and Thaddeus, Simon the Zealot, and Judas Iscariot, the one who also betrayed him. Verse 5. These 12 Jesus sent out. These 12 Jesus sent out after having instructed them. Okay, so when we look at apostolic power, and you say, Pastor Jeff, why are we spending so much time on this? It's because in this truth and love, in the understanding and clarity of this theology, you'll find the truth that will set you free. And for those who are being ensnared by the lies and the deceptions of the enemy in a fallen world, this is good news. Understanding this truth about apostolic power is essential to healthy living and witnessing and being the proper reflection and witness of our King, our Lord, and our Savior. Amen. Well, when you look at this, first I want you to see in the apostolic power, the contrast between the capital A apostolic and the small a apostolic power. There is a distinction. We've covered it recently. But in this passage, what you'll see is that the Lord is very specific. These 12. And what do we see? We see 12 ordinary men. We see what we'll have described as unschooled ordinary men in Acts 4:13. That's the list. Our Lord is starting with fishermen. Now, just think about this. You got fishermen. You got brothers, you got a soldier in here, you got enemies in here. Let me tell you, a tax collector, a Jewish tax collector had enemies all around him. But there's a zealot in the group. You've got all kinds of dichotomy here. Remember, Judas is in this mix as well. There's a wolf in here, okay? There's a whole lot of ordinary, a whole lot. You know, if you're old enough to remember the old Rudolph cartoon. This is the island of misfit toys. It's the way I've described our church for years. If you think about it, it's a quilt of desperation. These 12, these are a bunch of nobody knuckleheads. Again, know this, that this is a quilt of diversification, of desperation. Ultimately, friends, and I pray this encourages you, this 12, they're a portrait of us. This is to show us that the Lord did not pick the all-stars. He made them. That's the difference. He didn't go and get all the religious elite. No, he did just the opposite. Understand, this apostolic power, it is the capital A apostles because Jesus chose them. Jesus empowered them. The small a apostles, well, those are the same empowered people, but it's a time now after this exact time where Jesus is setting up the foundation. It's not these 12. The small a apostles are every Christian that Christ has and does send out with his authority on his mission for his purposes as his people. Now, there are many other apostles in the scriptures, just for those that struggle with this. For example, do you realize that as a small a apostle, not a capital A, not in the office of apostle, not one of the 12, there are a number of other references in the scripture. I'll give you my three favorite, Barnabas, Stephen, and Philip, all acknowledged to be the apostles, small a. And it helps you and me to understand that every sent person, even today, is a small a apostle. We need to understand that our power comes from him. It's his power. And if you're not comfortable with that, understand this, that there are countless nameless examples throughout Scripture. Those that we see here have been informed, inspected, and inspired by Jesus himself. But biblical, authentic, small A apostles today are those who have also been changed by Christ, have been informed, inspected, and inspired by him, and are now today empowered, as we'll get to here shortly. We are the people that Jesus prayed for in John 17, as he prayed to the Father and said, not just these 12, not just these that are around me, but those who will come and serve through them. That's us. That's the multi-generational family of sent ones. Oh, friends, I pray you'll understand the apostolic power is Christ's power given first to the 12, then to the other New Testament small A apostles, and now to all of us throughout church history and all who will live sent until he returns. Amen and amen. We need to realize that God turned and still turns ordinary men into extraordinary missionaries when we embrace his word, will, and way, his power and his purpose as his people. Amen and amen. Well, I pray that you'll also see that when it comes to apostolic power, there's average and then there's awesome. There are those who will claim to be and act as those sent, but what they show sometimes is a monstrous power. Those that are doing work in the power of the enemy, those that are doing the demonic work, but they act as though they're missional. These are the wolves in sheep's clothing, those empowered by the enemy. But then there are also lesser strands where you have those that are settling for the mechanical instead of the miracle. The average, now these are average, ordinary people, but they are made extraordinary through the power of our Lord. But there are counterfeits out there, and you need to know that. Those whose power, whose sending, whose apostolic type of stuff, language, ministry, they'll call it, it's mechanical. It has no miracle in it. It's about manipulation. It's about momentum. It's about marketing. It's not about the momentous. It's not literally about ministry or from the Messiah's power. I want you to think about this. We've had the illustration of a glove and a hand. You know, the glove is nothing without the hand in it. I think of one of my favorite places in the world is the Louvre Museum in Paris. Over 400 rooms, 35,000 pieces of art. But there is one room in particular that I find most appealing. It's where the Mona Lisa is, that room. I want you to think about it in terms of graveyards. There are graveyards with tombs all over the place, but there's only one graveyard whose tomb is miraculously empty. You see, whether it's a glove, whether it's a museum, or whether it's a tomb, it's what's inside or not inside that makes it average or makes it awesome. If it's just run-of-the-mill stuff that anybody can do and see, then it's average worldly stuff, no matter what its claims. But if it's miraculous, if it's messianic, if it's missional, that's what sets it apart as awesome. It comes from and serves the awesome God. Oh, friend, I pray that you'll understand it's what's inside that makes the difference between the average and the awesome. You know, there's a horse, a famous horse named Secretariat, won the Triple Crown, a famous racing, back when it died back in the, late 80s. The autopsy on the horse revealed this horse won all these races. It was considered to be one of the greatest of all time. And upon its death, it was discovered that this horse, who was known for its legs, its speed, found at the core a heart that was approximately 3 times larger than the average racehorse's heart. You see, it wasn't the legs on the outside, it was the heart on the inside. And that's what's true so often, whether it's a apostolic setting, whether it's a walk with the King, it's what's going on the inside that's going to distinguish and define what's going on the outside. Amen. The same thought process happens when you realize, in looking at the apostolic power, is this apostolic one assigned or simply aspirational? Let me tell you what I mean. Recognize that there are those that are assigned sent ones on behalf of our Lord. For that point, you should know that there are assigned sent ones on behalf of the devil. There are the demonic. There are those who are doing the devil's work, sent to do it, doing it aggressively. And that's a very real issue. When it comes to the apostolic sent ones of our Lord, the question becomes, is this person or are these people assigned and sent? Or are they simply doing something with their own aspirations? Now, I can speak to this personally and passionately because I can tell you that today I'm assigned. But there was a time when I was simply aspirational, when I wanted to do, quote unquote, the Lord's work, but it was for the wrong reasons. I had the wrong motives. And today, praise God, He broke me and refined me to where I can tell you today, I'm an assigned sent one. I know that I've been called by the Lord. If somebody doesn't understand that, I think back to my days at Southern Seminary and hearing something frequently, early on especially, one of the things that the professors and the community at large would say to you is, to me and others, is, have you been called here? Is this an assignment from the Lord? And they said, if not, if you're here for any other reasons, leave now. Turn back. Don't do it. This will kill you. Or worse, this will become something where your witness implodes and you will be a stain on the name of Jesus. If you're just aspiring and you haven't been assigned, then it's not true biblical apostolic power. Classic example can be found in Acts 19. There are these brothers known as the Sceva brothers. And in Acts 19, they're going around trying to make a buck, make a name for themselves, exorcising evil spirits. And they would try to mimic Paul. Well, as you might suspect, and some of you know the account, these sons of Sceva, they come upon this one man who's demon-possessed. And remember, the apostles have been given power to overcome and cast out evil spirits. Well, the sons of Sceva, they come upon this man who is filled with demonic powers, people or spirits, and they go thinking that they're going to make a buck, again, get famous. But the demonic says to the sons of Sceva, Jesus I know, Paul I know about, but who are you? You see, they weren't assigned by the Lord and they had no power, no power. And consequently, the account is that the demonic beat them and sent them out naked and ashamed. It was a horrible thing. I simply want to point out that there is a biblical, missional, eternal difference between those who have the assigned apostolic power and those who are simply aspirational, trying to make a name for themselves. One is going to serve the Lord and be blessed by Him, and the other is going to serve oneself, or so they think or hope, and the outcome will be somewhere between destructive for those involved, and perhaps, like the sons of Sceva, it would be a lesson that would be learned and noted for many for generations to come. All right, let's look now to where we'll put the bulk of our time, and we'll finish here in the assignment power. This is for every Christian who is going to learn from what Christ is doing and teaching and equipping with the 12 apostles. So don't lose sight of this. It's an assignment power given, as we read, to the 12, and there are components of this that are meant for you and me to learn from and take away, to be refined by and perhaps reshaped all truth and love, all of God's word. So let's take a look now at the assignment power from our Lord. He says now to the 12, "Do not go on a road to Gentiles, and do not enter a city of Samaritans, but rather go to the lost sheep of the house of Israel." Now, I want to point out to you a few things here, and I've got to do it pretty quickly. But notice where we've already been. To be in the assignment power, you need to have been picked by the Lord. You need to have been empowered by the Lord. You need to be poured out by the Lord. And here you see, you need to be principled in the truth and love both and of our Lord. And let me show you what I mean by that. Some of you are going to struggle with this verse, this passage. See, I thought Jesus loved everybody. I thought he loved the world, the whosoever. Well, why does he here tell them, do not go on a road to Gentiles or to a city of Samaritans? Does he not love them too? And this is where you've got to understand. This is why I spend so much time trying to teach and equip, so that you'll understand the both and principle and tension of God's word, will, and way. Yes, he loves them all. He loves the world. But here, he's giving a specific assignment. If you don't understand the principle both and of God's word, you're going to end up either pitting one passage or verse against another, one doctrine against another, or you're going to fall prey to people who do that with cunning intentions. So understand here, see the both and principles. He's telling them, do not go to that place or that place. Instead, do this. Now, let me test how well you get this. What would you say if right now the next verse read, and then they went to Rome and they taught and they evangelized and hundreds, if not thousands of people came to Christ that day? What would you say? Most would say amen. What we should say is they sinned. That's wrong. That's not good. Don't allow the ends to justify the means. That's part of what's wrong with our culture and our societies today. Jesus said, don't do it. If somebody did it, they would be sinning. That's disobedience. And regardless of what the outcome was or how good it felt or how good it looked, it would be sin. Learn this, friends. The devil will try to get you to disobey by doing as bad as you can do. But some of you would not do bad. So he'll tempt you. He'll lure you away with good so that you'll defy best and be disobedient. If somebody were to go to Rome after this verse, one of these 12, and led 10,000 souls to Christ, it would be sin and should not be elevated as anything but. Don't be deceived by an ends that seems to justify a means that's in disobedience to our Lord. That's one of the best both and principles that I can share with you. All right, let's go on and see this. There's a providential, not a paradoxical component here to the assignment power. Again, this is the Lord choosing. This is the Lord saying, here, this way. It's not a paradox. It's not a contradiction. It's a complementary reality. This is part of what you and I need to understand if we're going to embrace the assignment power that is being extended to us. There's a prioritizing and a prayerful component to assignment power. Note this, that Jesus has made it clear. First, to the lost sheep of Israel. There's a prioritizing that he does. We need to understand that he has priorities. We need to live out his, not our priorities, his priorities. We need to do it prayerfully, because you're not going to find a chapter and a verse that says, do I go here first, there first, or someplace else? You need to be able to pray and obey, understanding that the Lord has priorities. He's going to use strategy at times. I want you to think about Paul when he's on his missionary journey. He's heading north, and all of a sudden, the Lord literally tells him, stop, do not go further, turn left, go west. There's a Macedonian waiting for you. He had his assignment. It was to go north. On a dime, God providentially changed his direction. Didn't make sense to anybody. If you followed Moses on his way to the promised land, wouldn't make sense to anybody. And yet he was being led by the Lord the entire way. Understand this both and, this prioritizing principle. Now we're also told, as you go, Jesus said, preach, saying the kingdom of heaven has come near. Notice it's as you go, preach. Don't wait till you get there to preach. As you go, preach. We're to preach all the way through the assignment. We are to be proclaimers. It's not about a destination. It's about a journey. And the journey is a part of the mission and the purpose. He says here, what I pray you'll pick up as both a blessing and a warning. Don't do some things and do some things. This is the heart of it. Preach the good news. Let the people know the kingdom has drawn near. That's good news. And it's also a warning for those that are denying. And when he says the kingdom has drawn near, that's a personal proximity issue. He's letting people know this is for you. Personal. You need to know near to you is the kingdom. Near to you is the Christ. Oh, what an amazing declaration. Verse 8, we're going to see them now in assignment power, persevering and personifying Christ. He says to them, heal the sick, raise the dead, cleanse those with leprosy, cast out demons. Wow. Do you hear this? It's both a verb and a command. They're being told, this assignment is for you to do what Christ has done, for you to show people that Christ is Lord. That's what's going on. And he, remember, is the one who is giving this power. He's empowering. He's telling them what to do. Now, this is what we see. The capital A apostles did it. The small A apostles in the New Testament did it. Today, the small A apostles do it the exact same way, in Christ's power, for his purpose, through his proclamation as his people. You see, it's again, the both and. This is back then, it's right now. And it will be up until Christ returns. That's what we have here. It's both commanded and comprehensive. This is our Lord doing a masterful work of teaching and equipping. Now we see it goes on. He says, freely you received, freely give. Do not acquire gold or silver or copper for your money belts or a bag for your journey or even two tunics or sandals or a staff for the worker. The worker is deserving of his support. Here we see a providential and a provisional power on display. What we're being told is those capital A apostles and those of us today, we were given this mission and the gift of this power freely. We give it out freely. I like to think of it this way. Grace getters should be grace givers. Mercy receivers are the merciful among us. Think about the parable of the debt. If you don't know this, there's one who is forgiven a tremendous debt, who then does not allow one who owes him a little. He does not forgive the debt to him that was small, even though he himself had received such a great relief. The consequence for the stingy one who would not return to another what was given to him was tragic. And the message was, you don't want to be in that camp. No, see here the provisional and be as free giving as you were in receiving. But there's also more going on here. What we see is that our Lord is telling them, don't worry about preparation. Don't worry so much about being prepared that you end up missing the mission. Don't let fear interfere with your faith. Don't let caution turn into corruption when it comes to saying, yes, Lord, and fulfilling. The Lord's making it clear, He will take care. Think about it this way. He's letting them know His people will be taken care of by Him and His people. Now, He's not saying be foolish. He's not saying be flippant. He's saying be faithful. Don't do what you want to do and think you can make it work out. Walk with Him. You've received everything you need through Him and His instructions for life and godliness. For these 12, what the Lord is saying is, listen, just pay attention to what I've told you. Be who I've called you to be. Go in the power that I am giving you. My almighty power is given to you as apostolic power for this assignment. You are empowered. That's what we see. That's what Jesus is showing us. So as we bring this full circle, as we come to a close, what do we see here? Jesus is showing who sends. He does. He's showing us who's sent. His apostles, His sent ones, capital A and small a. And He's helping us to better understand how and why He sends and we live sent. It's for the glory of God. And so we see this, the almighty power, it's always going to be miraculous, messianic, and missional. By definition, if it's His, if it's almighty power, it's miraculous. And it's His, it's Him alone, the Almighty, who can give this absolute power. And it's always with a mission in mind. There's always a purpose. The apostolic power, well, we see that in one sense, it's always going to be uniform. And at the same time, it's going to be unique. It's unique here to these 12, and it's uniform in that it's going to be the same source. It's going to be the same purpose. It's going to be the same in how and why the Lord gives it to capital A and small a apostles. And it's always going to be unparalleled. Apostolic, true biblical apostolic power is always going to be unique to the individual, uniform to the family, and unparalleled by any other power on the planet. Amen. Well, and then lastly, as we saw in the assignment power, well, I want you to think of these 10 points of assignment power, because while they're on display in the 12, they're laid out for all of us for all time. These are principles. First, note that in order to demonstrate and embrace and share assignment, the Almighty's apostolic small a assignment power, number one, you have to be picked. You have to be personally picked. You have to be and will be supernaturally empowered by Him. Third, you're going to be poured out. You will be poured out. You will be used for the purpose of serving. You are sent to serve. You'll be poured out. As the Lord says, do this for others. I'm going to put my power and my gifts in you to be poured out through you for my glory, by my grace, through the context of the gospel. Amen and amen. Number four, you're going to be principled with assignment power. You're going to need to embrace the both and faith of God's truth and love. You're going to be the both and tension carrying disciple, apostle, witness, ambassador. You're going to embrace the here and now and the later and forevers. You're going to embrace the truth in love. You're going to embrace both guardrails. You're going to understand with clarity, I pray, what it is to be fully, faithfully obedient. Not just simple obedience like the Pharisee. You can be right, but if you're not righteous, you're wrong. It's faithful obedience. It's right motive. It's right method. It's right message. It's faithful obedience. That's what you'll see in the both and of your assignment power. Number five, you'll see the providential aspect of being Spirit-led. What do you mean we're not going to Rome? Well, I mean that the Lord said, don't go down a Gentile road or to a Samaritan city. It doesn't matter what is there or what's promised. We are going to live providentially. Today, we're focusing, as the Lord said, on the lost sheep of Israel. And note here as well that the Lord makes a point of prioritizing sheep over goats. Now, he loves and he'll send us out to invite. We'll invite all, but we invest in the few. Again, you're seeing the Lord demonstrate aspects of him and his way that most people are not familiar with and aren't comfortable with. You know, they get a caricature of a cartoon hippie Jesus. Understand here, Jesus is making it clear. Do not go to those people. Go to these people now. Follow me. I am the Lord, you are not. I have the providential plan, you don't. I'm the sovereign king, you are not. Do as I say. I'm working all things together for the good of those who love me. Don't question me. Yes, Lord, is the only proper response. Now, I pray that when you hear that, it doesn't put the hair up on the back of your neck. I hope it warms your heart. Because let me tell you, friends, the best thing you and I can do, the best place you and I can be, is in the middle of God's will. When you and I are in a place, in a posture, where we are going to hear the Lord say, well done. Yeah, I know they hated you. I know they slandered you. I know they persecuted you. Don't worry. You were my city on a hill. You were my salt of the earth. You were literally my aroma. And I know some of them told you that you smell like death to them. Well, that's because you did. But you smell like life to others. Focus on the audience of one and hear, yes, Lord. That's where the blessing lies. Amen. You'll find this as well when you follow his prioritizing, his preaching. Remember, you're not there for anything short of bringing glory to God. And if you hold the truth and don't proclaim it, if you don't share, people are going to miss out. Same thing when it comes to the personifying of Christ. If you're empowered to be his person at that time and place, to say what needs to be said, to pray the prayer that needs to be prayed, perhaps to be the instrument through which God does a miraculous work, amen. Be that person. Be in that place and let him personify himself through you. Amen. Be at peace in preparation and know this, that God will provide. He will take care of not everything you want, but everything you need to be his. Friends, don't ever forget the power of one. Don't forget the power of one encounter. One acorn can become a forest. On a negative side, one little fire can burn down a forest. Respect the power of one. And in this context, recognize one proper understanding of one verse. Think about what one liar can do in destruction. Now think about what one truth or truth teller, one biblical disciple, apostle, witness, ambassador, shepherd, the power of one in God's kingdom. Oh, friends, I pray that you'll realize the power of one verse, the power of one Bible study, one life group encounter, one cross-pollinating session, one time where God chooses to pour in or touch or grab or pull. It takes one lightning strike, theologically, spiritually, to change an eternity. Don't ever lose sight of the power of one. One understanding. One part of God's word penetrating your heart, like here. Think about all the phrases. I think of the phrases. One phrase can change a life. Jesus is Lord. Truth in love. Repent and believe. Go out throughout Scripture. These one little phrases that are pregnant with power and purpose. There's one divine design. There's one greatest commandment. Love the Lord God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. There's one great commission. Go make disciples. It's the mission and it's a co-mission. One glorious gospel. We all need this miracle. that only our Messiah Jesus can give. And then he'll put us on mission. Amen. I think of it this way. You could sum it all up in understanding the power of one, what Jesus is doing. You want to understand this? What is at the core of the almighty power, apostolic power, assignment power? It's to understand grace through faith. Whether it's our salvation or our empowerment in the midst of our sanctification, it's all by grace through faith. All the miracles are his gift of grace. As Messiah, he's the only giver of true biblical grace. And every mission is a going of grace for his glory. Oh, I pray that you understand what Jesus is doing here. And come back next time and we'll see as the passage continues how Jesus prepares them for what is coming. Lord, thank you, thank you, thank you for the clarity of your word. May there be understanding. May there be embrace. May every single one of us be changed. Refresh and refine us, I pray. And Lord, use as big a chisel as is needed, an axe for some of us, or be as gentle as you can be with the shavings that will be needed in tender hearts. But make no mistake, Lord, all of us, we want to be changed that we'll better understand, embrace, and share your almighty power, your apostolic power, and your assignment power. Thank you for this great privilege and responsibility. It's in Jesus' name we pray and believe. Amen and amen.